Howdy, and welcome to the FPL Jingle. Steve is on the other microphone over there somewhere in Limerick. How are you getting on?
Not too bad, Owen. How are you?
Oh, very good. I had a weekend full of cock, so that was delightful.
Phrasing. Yeah, sounds good. I support you in all your decisions. Have you told your parents yet?
I actually did tell them the story that... I went to a pub over the weekend, which a hen party shortly thereafter, followed by a stripper, was in. And it was quite an experience.
And did you join in, did they pay you as well, or?
No, I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
Decided I shouldn't use my real name. So we came up with the name Gator.
I'm telling you, you were a pimp.
No! Are you even listening to the story?
So.
Not anymore, no. Lisa won't let you.
No, I'm not allowed.
Oh, that's a shame.
You were at the Formula One, Steve. How did that go?
Yeah, there's a lot less... was there less cock? Not really, I suppose, than the lads that were there.
So, we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore?
It was good. It was good. Very nice time of it. Saturday got absolutely drenched because there was a thunderstorm. And... made for interesting conditions in terms of the qualifying with the track being wet, but Sunday then was a great experience. Like, we were in the grandstand, like right near the start line and the podium and everything, so got a great view of all that, and pretty good.
So you missed the all important Community Shield.
I did. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch it. I saw highlights and some of the stuff that went on.
Such an important friendly game of football.
Such an important friendly with a trophy that nobody really cares about. Yeah, how dare I? I should basically restructure my whole life around the season.
Absolutely. What do you think of the overreaction of everyone dropping Haaland out of their teams after his display?
I mean, we'll get on to our teams later on, but I still have him in mine. I think it's ridiculous. I think that's not gonna happen very often, if at all, with Haaland in the season. I don't understand that he's going to be class.
Yeah, he missed a sitter, but let's say Nunez misses a sitter, and everyone's like he's the worst player in the team and whatever. That comment was going around about the 90 million that was paid.
Yeah, but then it's funny how the perception changes because he got a very dodgy headed goal in injury time, and suddenly all the perception has changed about him now, and he's class.
Yeah, exactly. Recency bias is very, very much alive in fantasy football. Great to see it.
Sure, football always has a short-term memory. Nobody remembers anything what happened more than 2 weeks ago.
No, I don't remember anything that happened at all 2 weeks ago. Never mind football. So we're going to start doing a bit of a normal episode, Steve. This time we're going to look at the week ahead.
Yeah, we actually have games to talk about, which is fantastic. I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to it now. It's finally back on.
Yeah, and I get to use all my common phrases like look at the week that was and the week ahead and this game week. It's going to be this totally the same as last year.
Well, hopefully be a little better than last year, but I mean, yeah, like we might as well aim a bit higher, you know.
Look, shoot for the stars. Buzz Lightyear is our
so if you fall, you land on a cloud. Hero. Kanye West.
I don't need anyone telling me play on words. I'm a motherfucking lyrical wordsmith, motherfucking genius.
So we will look at the upcoming game week, and then we'll reveal our teams for the week ahead, and then we also have our banker and spicy boy segment this time around. We will be getting into the swing of it, and very much looking forward to it. I think I can hear it in yourself there as well. Like, the game doesn't start until they actually play the football, and we're on the cusp. I can't fucking wait.
It's like when you're so close to that first sip of beer, Owen. It's like you're just waiting for the pint to be finished so you can finally
take it. Do you ever get like send a picture from a group of lads and there's like pints on the table, that kind of thing?
Yeah, usually from you.
that's a very enticing image when you're on your way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll list the fixtures this week. That's always nice to hear.
It's time!
The curtain raiser on August 5th, 8 o'clock, in what's Palace's home ground?
Selhurst Park.
Selhurst Park. The Eagles will host Arsenal at 8 o'clock. Opening fixture. What do you make of that, Steve, actually? The Arsenal fan. Do you think you'll get off to a good start?
So, it depends. Like, Palace have a very good run of fixtures. They're unbeaten in their last six games at home, I think, and have clean sheets in five of those six. Arsenal, meanwhile, always kind of struggle whenever we go to Palace away. But our preseason has been so good. Like, you know, I know when it's only preseason and you can only read so much into it, but I mean, four goals against Sevilla at halftime. We beat Chelsea 3-0, I think it was, or was it 3-1? In the States.
Chelsea
so,
was 4-0.
So it was even more than that. Like, there's reason to be optimistic. I think Arteta's finally got a forward in to do what he actually wants him to do, like, as in intermix with the other three. And, you know, there was a lot of position swapping between him and Saka and Martinelli. Like, so,
You're excited.
I am excited. I think we can definitely get a result. I have to think that we'll get a result, but it's not going to be easy.
No, it's nice to see Arsenal, as they do, building up their fans' hopes.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
So, the second game in the Premier League, Fulham hosts Liverpool for a nice trashing. I think that's the juiciest fixture of the week for your fantasy assets. Uh-huh. Bournemouth play Villa. Newcastle take on Forest, who haven't been here in 25 years, I think, 23 years.
Yeah, I think they were around for maybe like the first season or two of the Premier League, but then got relegated and haven't been back since. So it's almost like they're newcomers.
Yeah, like I never saw Forest do anything. They went down before I was born. So yeah, that makes sense. And then the two teams that come marching in, Spurs and the Saints, take each other on. Spurs hoping to get a good start to their season. Leeds play Wolves. Fat Frank's Everton will host Chelsea. And all these games are interesting. And just, you know, like the litmus test that all these teams are going to get. Leicester play Brentford. Man United take on Brighton. And Holland's first game in the Premier League will be against West Ham. Not an easy one.
No, definitely not. West Ham will be eager to prove that, you know, that they are consistent finishers in and around fifth or sixth. And, like, they brought in players. They've spent a fair bit of money. They brought in the centre-back for, like, 30 million. They brought in Scamacca for, like, 35. They brought in another player who I can't remember the name of at the moment. But they've definitely bolstered their squad. They brought in that. They made Areola permanent. So you imagine he's going to eventually take over for Fabianski, but maybe not right away. And, like, they look promising. Like, they've managed to keep Declan Rice this for this season. He's captain now. So I think that was probably one of the biggest signings was being able to keep Rice, because I know that there was a lot of people looking at him.
Yeah, absolutely. West Ham, of course, will have Europe later on in the season, but early doors, they should have so much strength in depth that they should be very competitive early on. You mentioned Scamacca, Benrahma, Fornells, Bowen, Lanzini, Antonio. It's actually a ridiculous depth that they've got going on.
Yeah, I suppose that the depth is there, but I suppose it's whether their performances follow. Because, I mean, Benrahma's kind of been a bit hit and miss. Lanzini's kind of something similar. Antonio fell off a cliff after the first few months of the season. Bowen really carried that team last season for long stretches, but I don't think he's going to be able to do that as much this season. People are going to know and target him. So it'll be interesting to see other players are going to have to step up, but I really think Scamacca, when he comes into the team, is going to be a good addition, because I think he's a kind of a Moyes-type player. Like, he's big, he's physical, but he's also got a nice turn of pace on him for the height that he is. I think he's like 6'7", something like that.
6'5". I've been told he was 6'9", and then he turned out to be 6'5". I was very disappointed. Very disappointed. At 7 million, he's probably not in any teams, but it's interesting to see what happens with him. He's definitely a move you can make from Jesus if that doesn't work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we are going to quickly touch on all the games. You've already done City, West Ham for us, and we spoke about Arsenal, Palace. How do you pick three Liverpool players to take on Fulham? There's so many options.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, the only thing in my mind is that it's the early kickoff, and normally I would never back the early kickoff, but I think just Liverpool look so ready to go. Liverpool look so ready to go. If I had to pick three players, it would probably be Trent, Salah, and Diaz. Because, I mean, Trent looked pretty good in the Community Shield. He got that goal. And then Salah and Diaz are guaranteed starters up front. So you're kind of getting everything from those three, really.
The Jota injury makes Diaz that much more exciting. Mm-hmm. The only question I might have would be, do you get Rabo or Diaz? But I'm getting Diaz to have that 8 million spot in midfield that I can easily change.
Yeah.
The three you mentioned are the three I've gone for. Nunez, would you be starting him?
Not at this stage.
I'll wait and see.
I think so, but I think it depends. Like, if you have him in there for 9 million, maybe. Yeah, it's a tough one to answer on, really, to be honest. I think Bobby is going to start the game, so I would be tempted to say no, but he did well. He did all right when he came on. Like, I know he missed the chance when he tried to lob Ederson, but he still got into that opportunity, and then he was involved in the handball.
Yeah, he won the penalty as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. The handball against Diaz that won the penalty, and then he obviously got his goal in another time, so he probably impressed Klopp a lot, so... he'll probably at least, and with the five appearances now, he'll probably at least get a bench appearance. So, but I wouldn't be starting him just yet.
Yeah, he's interesting. I'm high on Nunez right now, but because I did watch one game so far this season.
Yeah, the recency bias that we just talked about, that's kicking in there now.
Exactly. So Nunez straight in. I dropped Holland. Coutinho or maybe Cash or Bailey is definitely of interest.
Yeah, I think Bailey's going to be in a lot of people's...
go to Bournemouth.
Yeah, Bailey's going to be in a lot of people's teams. Cash will be. And I think Digne is probably an asset worth looking at.
He's being overlooked, isn't he? Is he more expensive or what?
I don't know his price now. Caught me on the hop there. But I think because of his kind of poor end to the run last season, people are kind of overlooking him. They're both the same price. So, yeah, I mean, like, Digne is going to take the set pieces. He might not take the direct free kicks. Coutinho's probably going to do that, but he'll still take some of the corners and the wider free kicks into the box. So, definitely still worth having, because I think Gerrard's teams do like to use the wing backs. So, and especially against this Bournemouth side.
It's going to be confusing. Like, the Villa forward line was always hard to pick, with Ings and Buendia and Coutinho and Watkins and a whole host of choices. So you're probably staying away from half of the names I just mentioned until they settle, which they won't.
Exactly. Yeah, unless they decide to settle on a kind of set team, which you never know, they might do. I mean, if you start winning, it's very hard to change a winning team. But, like you mentioned there, Ings and Watkins kind of can either play together or one or the other. And then you've got Bailey and Buendia and Coutinho, who all kind of looking around starting. And Bertrand Traore is probably going to come in for some minutes at some stage.
Totally forgot he existed.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, he's going to be a factor, maybe not in the fact that some people will have him, but in the fact that he will impact other people's minutes.
Yeah. So then Callum Wilson, in a draft league last night, went super early. He was, I don't know, was he picked in the 8th round or something? And I was absolutely dumbfounded.
It was the 5th round.
5th round. They take on Forest in the first game of the season. I'm not considering any Newcastle players at the moment. I don't want Trips, I don't want Bruno, and I don't want Wilson. So that's kind of the end of it.
I think Trippier is still worth having. I think he'll take the direct free kicks. He's got a good delivery from the corners or wide free kicks. And I think Target is also maybe not a bad asset to have. I think they're going to improve defensively because they basically overhauled that whole defense. Like, they got Pope in, Trippier was permanent, Target was permanent. Sven Botman's come in from Lille.
What is the back four?
I would say it's probably Pope, Trippier, Dan Byrne, or Jamal Lascelles, Sven Botman, and Matt Target.
Back five.
No, I don't think Eddie Howe likes a back five. I think it's a back four.
Oh, sorry, I thought you named five defenders there.
No, I was saying it's either Byrne or Lascelles.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Brighton, of course, have sold a lot of very good defenders in the last little while. Yeah, Newcastle are going to be interesting, but I'm a bit of a wait and see man. St. Max, any interest?
His stats show that he completes the most dribbles out of anyone in the Premier League, but it's the end product that is what counts in fantasy, and he hasn't really produced that much so far. So I wouldn't be tempted to go with them, even though they are playing a kind of a lesser side. Not
what
in
if
Forest.
You were in a Fantrax league where you got awarded for dribbles and players beat and being fouled?
Well, Fantrax doesn't exist to me anymore, so your question is irrelevant.
Then you'd be a great pick, Steve.
Yeah, well, that we don't live in that world.
Fantastic.
We don't.
Any Fantrax users, there's one for you. Spurs, who actually, first question, where are Spurs going to finish this season?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. I'm going to say they are going to make top four. I think Conte's got them well drilled now.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Fine. Surely? I'll say third.
Well, I don't like that either, because that's Chelsea's spot.
Don't ask the question if you don't like the answer, Owen. No, I think they could definitely finish third. I think Chelsea are going through a bit of a change now, especially after the change in ownership. They've got rid of Lukaku. There's talk of getting rid of Werner. They lost Rudiger and Christensen. They've brought in Koulibaly. They're talking about signing Cucurella for some weird reason because they need another left back. They brought in Sterling, so they haven't really filled Lukaku's spot. Havertz is probably going to play up top, but how confident are you in him? So there's definitely some problems there. And Tuchel said at the start in pre-season that he's not happy with the squad, and some of them look like they're trying to work with their agents to get themselves out of there. So there's definitely, it's not all smooth sailing.
What I'm a bit confused about is, like, 3-4 weeks ago, everyone was talking about Conor Gallagher, and he just completely went out in the news.
Are you surprised that Chelsea aren't going to give youth a chance?
The best youth squad in the world. How dare you, first of all.
Yeah, well, they'll constantly stay in the youth squad because Chelsea never play any of them. Billy Gilmore's going out on loan again.
He's just shite.
You loved him a season ago. You're just, go away, will you? Fuck's sake.
I'd love to see Gallagher getting a game, but I don't think he's relevant right now. We were talking about Spurs versus Southampton, and I'd love Spurs to sort themselves out because they have so many good fantasy assets to pick. Mm-hmm. But I just literally, as we were chatting, Steve, I changed Kulusevski to Diaz. Am I going to regret that?
No, I don't think you'll regret that. I think they're both good picks in their own right. And if anyone in that Spurs front three is going to be affected by the Richarlison signing, it is probably going to be Kulusevski. Now, having said that, I still think Kulusevski is going to get the majority of the minutes, but I mean, you don't sign Richarlison for £50 million to keep him sat on the bench all the time. So it'll be interesting to see how Conte works that. I imagine Richarlison's going to get starts in, like, the League Cup, FA Cup, and maybe a Champions League game or two. But because they're competing on like four fronts now, so they're going to need the squad depth. But Kulusevski's still going to be the main man because his numbers when he came in at the midpoint of last season
outrageous.
Were remarkable. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You have the wing back question. It looks like it's going to be Doherty, Perisic, left and right. I like the Doherty pick. Perisic like just seems to be. Well, what he played 75 minutes and almost scored in preseason. Seems fit. I mean, if he locks down that spot, like he's in every team all over the world.
Yeah, he has locked down that spot. Like he's a Conte player. Conte knows him, and I think that spot's his until he gets injured, or he has a terrible run of form. But even after that, who does he put in? Does he put Ben Davies in there? Not really, because Ben Davies is left sided centre back. Does he put in Reguilon there? Probably, but he doesn't like Reguilon. So, you know, probably Ryan Sessegnon. Yeah, probably.
Interesting to see him do something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wolves play Leeds. Probably Neto is the most relevant player, but I do think everyone is sleeping on Leeds.
Everyone just stop talking to me about Pedro Neto. I'm fucking sick of listening to people telling me about Pedro Neto. I don't care if he turns it, like, even if he turns out to be great, I still won't care. Like,
don't care. Just don't care anymore. Don't care.
Whatever.
Do you
want to
hear
team...
Pedro Neto's XG stats from last season?
No, I don't. So
they
don't
were
bother
very
telling
bad.
Me. So there you go. There, he's guaranteed. He's a banker own. Write it down. This game could go either way, really.
Yeah, you've got Petty Bamps. You've got Jack Harrison. I mean, Leeds made a few signings as well. Wait and see.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Like, they got in Aronson, who is an American kind of central attacking mid from RB Salzburg or Leipzig. I can't remember which one. They signed like three players from that RB system, because Jesse Marsh went through that entire system. I think he was at New York, and then he went to Salzburg, and then he was at Leipzig. So he knows everyone in that kind of organization. They got in Tyler Adams as well, and then they also brought in, I think, a centre-back in Christensen. So bit of change going on there. They obviously brought in Sinestra as well, the winger, to replace Rafinha, but he's injured, so he's probably not going to play. But this game is a bit of a wait-and-see for me, because I don't know how suited Leeds are going to be. I don't know what Wolves are going to be like. They just scream mediocrity to me. I know they did pretty well last season, but if you look at the second half of their season, it kind of fell off. They didn't really do anything. Jimenez is injured as well, who's their only recognized striker. They'll probably play Hwang Hee-chan, but I don't know, he wasn't really that good last season.
Very hard game to read. On the topic of Neto, he's actually in my team right now. We spoke about the Chelsea forwards already. Is like, no one wants any Everton players, I don't think.
No, I think in the draft we were mentioned earlier, I think there was maybe one Everton player taken, which was Calvert-Lewin. And even then, I wasn't too happy about seeing him go. So
that's a punt. That's shocking. Any good Everton players in fantasy football.
Look, Anthony Gordon could prove to be good. He was good last season, but I mean, the team itself, like, you know, they're brought in Tarkovsky, Dwight McNeil, and they're talking about getting Idrissa Gueye back from PSG on loan, and like, I think Rondon is still there. Like, you know, your Townsend Iwobi.
No God! No God! Please no! 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 No!
Damari Gray, like, you know.
Oh my god, these sounds like players I used to use in FIFA like in 2015 or something.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. So that's my point, is that, like, yeah. I don't know. They're obviously hamstringed a lot by financial fair play. They're massively in the negative on that. So they're very limited in what kind of moves they can make to try and bring any sort of players in. But I don't know, Frank Lampard is one of the favourites to get, if not the favourite, to get sacked first. So
on the topic of Chelsea, I did just bring in Reece James and take out Mendy, and I brought in Lloris for him. The Chelsea defence, I think James is just a great pick, regardless of the Chelsea defence.
Yeah,
I think that's just pretty obvious. The rest of it, you don't want to rush into a Koulibaly or a Thiago Silva or something like that, I don't think, just yet. And then Leicester made no signings.
No, Leicester pretty much, like, just as worse. You were. Yeah, they're actually worse off, I would say, because their talisman between the sticks and their captain, it looks like he's on his way to Nice. I think the fee was incredibly low, only something like £1 million. And he's not even that old for a goalkeeper. I think he's only in his like early 30s. So I don't know what's really gone on there. Maybe he's just said, look, I've done everything that I'm going to do within the club. Won the Premier League, won the FA Cup. There's no challenges left for me here. Maybe he wants a new start somewhere else. But the weird thing is that apparently Brendan Rodgers has said that they won't be signing a replacement keeper, and it'll be a battle between the backups of Joel Ward and the other player who I can't even remember his name right now.
Isn't that Danny Ward? No.
Oh, Joel maybe it's Ward. Danny Ward. Yeah, no, it's probably Danny Ward. Apologies for that. But then, yeah, like, look, they've got Tielemans, who looks like he might be on his way out. He's only got a year left in his contract, doesn't want to extend. That doesn't really bode well. Like, Vardy's a year older, and he's their best forward by far. I still am a big Vardy fan. I think he can have another good season, but I mean, Jesus, they've tried signing Daka and Iheanacho to replace him, and they're both terrible. So I think Leicester's recruiting system is kind of faltering a little bit, but you know, they're coming up against a Brentford side who they'll be expecting to get a result against, especially at home. Brentford themselves have kind of made one or two additions. They brought in Ben Mee on a free after he left Burnley. And
of course, they've lost Eriksen.
That's kind of it.
So they might
and they've lost Eriksen. Yeah.
Might be relegated.
No, I think there'll still be enough to stay up. I like the style of football they play. I think Ivan Toney is a good forward. I think they'll have enough.
We shall see. Madison is a very popular pick, $8 million. But I think like the Diaz or the Kulusevski or the Mason Mount is better.
There's definitely better right players. Now. Yeah, there's better players for that same
Saka,
price. Yeah,
even
definitely
$8 million. Yeah. Yep. So Man United then host Brighton. In order to make the changes I just spoke about, I dropped Rashford, just got rid of him. It's Pedro Neto at the moment. I'm very okay with that decision. I think I'm going to wait and see on this Man United team of very patchy forwards.
Yeah, it's a good game for Ten Hag to get to start the campaign with. But I mean, what's the starting lineup is going to be, nobody really knows. Like, is Martinez going to play as a centre back or a midfielder? Is Eriksen going to play? Is Ronaldo going to play? If not, does Martial start up top and Rashford's on the left? If Ronaldo
not playing for a while anyway.
We don't know. Like, this is the thing, we're not 100% certain. He left the friendly they had against Rayo Vallecano at half time, or after half time.
I think people are reading into that a bit more. I think
I don't know about a few players, but apparently he did it at Juve as well. So, you know, people are kind of saying, well, he did it at Juve and then he left there and now he's doing it at United. Is it the same again? Hard to say, but I mean, I don't think you can start Ronaldo up top, having only worked with him for maybe like a week and then played him for 45 minutes. So, Martial probably goes up top and Rashford on the left. But I think the player that it might be of interest to most people is Jadon Sancho, $7.5 million, and apparently he's had a very, very good preseason. So he'll be looking to find the form that he had at Dortmund before he came to United last season and had a nightmare.
Yeah, $7.5 million for Sancho. He'd be an easy move if you have that $8 million slot. So you're going to need a second slot because you probably have Salah. So you have Salah, you have an $8 million slot of one of the lads we're just talking about, then Sancho as a third. I certainly don't take Sancho over Diaz, Kulusevski, Mount, whatever. So
no, but I mean, if you're trying to budget it around, and $7.5 million is pretty decent for him, I think. The only other player I'd say then is, I think potentially Diogo Dalot is going to start at right back, and I think he's cheap enough. And Brighton are a side that don't really score that many goals, like, you know, Mopay, Welbeck, and they've signed this
Trossard
new guy.
Just got a hat trick. How dare you?
Yeah, I stand by what I said.
Solly March is the Ronaldo of his day.
Right, okay, are you done?
No. I would also like to give Lewis Dunk a shout out. He is basically John Terry.
Okay.
That is all.
That is all? You're done now?
That is all.
You happy, yeah?
I am happy.
Derailed the pod for a good 30 to 45 seconds there.
My disappointment is immeasurable. And my day is ruined.
That's game week one. of fantasy football this season, and I just can't wait to get stuck in. And we're going to have our inaugural three tips, or three bankers, whatever you want to call them, and spicy boy, differential, outside pick, whatever you want. Steve, what's the very first banker of the 2022-23 season?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, we're talking bankers here, so we're not going to be giving out anyone crazy. We'll save that for the latter bit. But, like, Salah is probably the banker, the first banker. Like, you know, Fulham away, start of the season, probably be a good fixture for him. I mean, they're talking about signing Bernd Leno from Arsenal, but even if they do get the deal done, he's probably not going to play in time, so it'll be whatever their backup keeper is or the keeper that they had last season. So, yeah, he's the first banker.
No idea. Obvious, yeah. You know, when I look at these, we have three bankers. I only have one of them, which makes me feel silly. But number two is going to be Son. Spurs take on the Saints, who didn't improve much over the summer. They are a team in decline with a few years now. I can see Spurs turning up and absolutely romping home all over the Saints.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's
Son,
not to...
I think...
Go ahead.
Over Kane. Kane, we saw last season, has a tendency to drop deep. We'll see what happens this season. You know, you can't really predict what he's going to do. But Son generally is the furthest forward for Spurs, so he's a winger, but you've got the Spurs striker, more or less.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's no secret that the relationship that him and Kane have is ridiculous. So, like, he does act as an almost like another centre forward. But, yeah, like you said, I think they're going to be good. And that's not to give any slight against Southampton. I just think that Southampton have made a lot of signings, and I don't know how well gelled they all are together yet. Like, I'd be interested to see if Gavin Bazunu does starting goals, just purely from an Irish point of view. But yeah, no, Spurs are going to be the big favourites for this one.
Fairly obvious. Number three.
Yeah, number three is going to be Kevin De Bruyne. Look, City are going to be wanting to forget about that FA Cup game, or not the FA Cup, sorry, the Community Shield game.
And friendliest of friendlies.
It's not a friendly, really. There was silverware at stake. And look, they didn't play friendly too bad. Like, they kind of had purple patches during the game, and Kevin De Bruyne is just, you know, he's obviously class, and he can pick apart a team with one pass. So, you know, and if they're going to do anything, it's probably going to be likely through him. You know, Haaland is going to want to make those runs in behind, and De Bruyne is going to be a guy that's going to be able to make those passes for him. So definitely one of the bankers for this week.
Yeah, he was by far the most potent threat City had in the Community Shield. Mahrez was thereabouts. Haaland just had an off day. And I think the safest thing to do is to have Kev. That's three midfielders, Steve. But then, you know, we find ourselves with two forwards each. That's kind of interesting. I suppose we don't want to spend the pod talking about it. The spicy boy segment. And I'm going for Nunez. And maybe not that spicy, but he did look very good against City.
I know, yeah. It's just funny.
It's
just funny.
He got four goals then shortly before that.
Because, like, you were just asking me earlier whether I thought he'd play, and I was like, no. And then you're like, well, he's my spicy pick. It's like, okay. all right. Kind of setting me up there, Owen, were you?
More or less. If he gets 30 minutes against Fulham, that's more or less enough. Like, any day, if you can have a good striker against a good striker playing for City or Liverpool, any day, you just have it, really, don't you? The spiciness is whether he plays in minutes and other things like that. But yeah, for 1 week only, it's going to be Nunez.
fair enough.
You can tell me yours, Steve, if you like.
I was waiting for you to like kind of do like an intro bit or something, because...
Maybe we won't do it, so...
No, we'll do it, it's fine. I'm going for Vardy. You know, looking at the lineups, or potential lineups for the other teams, you know, there's no real kind of standing out to me more so than Vardy. 35 now, 1 year left on his contract, talks about renewing it, but apparently there's other teams potentially interested in him as well. At home against Brentford, you know, he's going to have Madison and Barnes supplying quality balls to him. Be interesting to see who they have on the right. I still think there's going to be enough quality inside in that side to beat Brentford, and I think he'll get on the score sheet. So I think he's 9.5 as well. So like, you know, kind of in that kind of middle area. He's not exactly Jesus for 8, but he's not Haaland or Kane for 11.5. So, you know, a nice player if you're trying to budget the money and kind of move it around the team.
Yeah, you see some people doing that, like playing with like maybe no premiums, so, or you know, like 1.5 premiums, so they might get Vardy and Salah, then spread the cash around, just have an extra good midfielder or go big at the back. And Vardy is definitely an option that allows you to do that. Gets you 2 million off of Haaland, so he's definitely the pick to do that with. I personally prefer to have at least 2 premiums. I'd have 3 if I could. I very much like to see this guy's getting points.
Yeah, I'd like to have more good players if I could. Yeah.
Can I have more good players, please?
Yeah, just write to the FPL and just ask them for another 25 mil for your team so you can get better players in.
You know the game that we play on the phone, the American football, what's that called?
Yeah, Retro Bowl.
Retro Bowl. I have a 200 million budget on that now, so my team is fucking wild. That's double the usual budget. So, yeah, that's nice. So if they could do that for me in this, that'd be very nice.
Yeah, I think that you just need to pay the microtransactions inside the Premier League app, and then you can do that, yeah.
Imagine they brought microtransactions in.
Oh, man, if they did, it'd be game over.
Shiny
like.
Jerseys. Yeah, that'd be the end of it. So then, what is your team name this time, Steve? You didn't have it for us last time.
Ode to Jesus.
Okay. Is that a song? Ode to Jesus?
I don't know. Like, I just thought of it. Like, you know, as in like...
Sounds like a quote, but it's not. It's a real thing.
Like, you know, and it's like an ode to whatever, like... So, like, but it also works in the fact that, like, Odegaard to Jesus for, like, you know, the assist and the goal.
Oh, it's Ode. Oh, okay. Did you manage to get in the umlau or whatever?
I copied it from the internet, so I got it in, yeah.
Oh, wow. You got it on the internet. Very nice.
Fuck off. I mean, I got his name. Like, you fucker.
Yeah. What's your team look like, Steve?
Yeah, so I've made a few changes since I last talked to you, and so I've gone for Mendy. I've got Trent in there, I've got Cancelo in there, and I've got Perisic in.
You got rid of the centre backs.
I did. Like I said, I've made changes, so I've got,
like, the Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church. We've made a few changes.
I've got White and Nico Williams as my other two defenders. Then I've got Salah, Mahrez, Luis Diaz, and Bailey, with Pereira being the fifth midfielder, and then I've got Haaland and Jesus and Greenwood. So my starting lineup is a 4-4-2: Mendy, Trent, Perisic, White, Cancelo, Salah, Mahrez, Diaz, Bailey, Haaland, and Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? White at 4.5 is a nice option. I was wondering, is there anyone else you could pick for White? But he's probably the best 4.5 available, given Tomiyasu doesn't seem to play. I mean, like, yeah, that very, very template, isn't it? I suppose Mahrez is an interesting pick.
Yeah,
I was very high on Mahrez for a while, and then I got off him again.
Yeah, I just think he's a baller. Like, I just like him, and I think now with the other players gone, he's guaranteed more minutes at right wing. I think Grealish and Foden might potentially trade minutes on the left, or Foden might drop into midfield sometimes. But I think Mahrez is definitely going to get more minutes than he did last season.
Do you know who I hear no one talking about at all is Julian Alvarez. Is he just a Haaland sub, or does he play on the right or left? Or what's
no, he? I think he came on for Mahrez on the right in the Community Shield. So, but he kind of drifted in played as like a second striker.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does. I listened to a lot of podcasts and I didn't hear his name mentioned once. So interesting to see what happens with him and the City guys. He's the Ferran Torres of the year, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, he is quite highly rated, so I imagine it probably won't be too long until he kind of breaks onto the scene, and in which case it'll probably be a case of how many people get him into the side. But yeah, like, I think he's going to be good, but I think Mahrez has got that spot for the moment.
Surely. Alvarez there, a 6.5 million forward. Very cheap. Interesting to see what happens with him. Moving along to my team, the better team.
Yeah, all right.
I've also made some changes and will make some more, probably. I've got Lloris in goal, 5.5. The one of the most expensive keepers. We'll see what happens there. Then it's Trent, Cancelo, Walker and James. Nico Williams, the sub midfielder. Martinelli, Neto at the moment, probably just a placeholder. Luis Diaz, Salah, and then Fulham's Pereira. Andreas Pereira, or is it Pereira Andreas?
Andreas Pereira.
And then Haaland and Jesus, same as yourself, Steve, and Greenwood. We have the exact same front three. I want to research, actually, sub forwards. I have no idea which of the 4.5 forwards is most likely to play, so probably do something about that. Yeah, I dropped Kulusevski, I dropped Romero, and I dropped Mendy, and I dropped Rashford. And in their stead, I got Lloris, James, Luis Diaz, and Neto.
Okay. Yeah. I've already given my thoughts about Neto, so I don't feel like reiterating myself.
But he's class.
He's not.
He's a nice young fella.
I'm not. I'm nothing against the man. Just thought,
do you think I strengthened or weakened there?
I mean, like, look, you strengthened at the back to weaken in the midfield, like, and I don't know, personally, I would be tempted to do kind of the opposite. I think midfield is probably where the game's won and lost, because, you know, the goals are worth 5 points, like, for midfielders, but, like, you've got Salah and Diaz, which is good, and Martinelli is good, but I don't know, I just don't like Neto, and especially when you've got Andres Pereira as your other midfielder, like, it just feels like a bit of a weakened midfield.
Yeah, Neto's fairly ignorant looking there. I'll end up changing Neto. I mean, like, so what I could do then is change Walker to someone cheap. So, like, basically just get, like, Ben White, same as you. And then we'd have the exact same team, more or less. And upgrade Neto to a 6 million mid. I'm not sure who's there at that price. Martinelli was pretty much the best.
For 5.5 million, Owen. Never mind. I was just about to say, would you not get in one of the other goalkeepers? But I suppose what you could potentially do is you could get rid of Walker, get in Ederson instead, and then you'd still have your two City defenders, and then you could get someone else in for Neto.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have to do a bit of research on the 6 million mids. But that's something for next time on episode 4 of the FPL Jingle Season 2. Yeah, nice to get one under the belt. Nice to get the official start of the FPL season under the belt. I can't wait to rip this team apart and wildcard in week 2. What are your thoughts going into the season, Steve?
Just excitement, Owen. It's like the night before Christmas. You're just kind of, you can't sleep, you're restless. Can't wait to get up in the morning and open your present to your brand new fantasy team.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it on Twitter. We're using that a bit more these days. That's at the FPL Jingle. We're also on Discord. You can get a link to that in the podcast description. We can't send around a link to the league this time. And our website is still under construction. Hopefully that goes live next weekend with all the new artwork and blogs and videos and highlight reels. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, look, we're not ashamed to admit that we're amateurs at this and we're still kind of working on it. So it's a work in progress and we'll get there eventually. But when we do it, we want to try and do it right. Yeah. So that's
leave us
that's
alone.
All.
Leave us be. If you don't want to listen, just turn it off, okay? We're just giving opinions here.
Oh, my God. You want to cut our fucking heads off, huh?
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.